This is the Capture Your 365 podcast, a podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number 7, Your 365 Questions, recorded on January 6th, 2014.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Capture Your 365 podcast. This is Katrina Kennedy, and I am here today with my lovely co-host, Kelly Buss. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Katrina.
How are you?
You know, I'm cold.
Yeah, well, we just laughed and said, you know, can we start this without talking about the weather? And we decided, since it is the coldest it's been across the country, that maybe today we have to talk about the weather. So how cold is cold today, Kelly?
Well, I'm just in Kansas, remember. So all of you that are listening that are where it's really, 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 really cold, just, you know, give me a little bit of mercy. But it's like 2 degrees right now at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was negative 10 this morning, which is not Kansas winter. I didn't pick Minnesota winter or, you know, Canadian winter. So it's really, really cold for us.
Oh, that's just crazy. And, you know, you guys are experiencing unusual cold, and we are actually supposed to get up to almost 66 today, which is ridiculously warm for us. And we've not had any rain. It's really dry. I'm ready for this to be done. I want to be back to regular weather. I told my husband this weekend, I just want one of those gray days where you have to sit inside because you have to. So I think we need a happy medium between what we're all experiencing.
Yeah, that would be nice. We got some snow, so that makes it a little bit colder. But the good thing is it's gorgeous. I mean, the sun is beautiful, you know, and it's bright blue, and it's that really crisp cold you think it's warm. Until you go outside, and then you remember, oh, it's really, really, really cold.
Oh, you go outside and realize you could freeze to death, so you better go back in.
Exactly. You know, and for us, it's all about animal care and about keeping water for the chickens, the goats, and the ducks. And I honestly, except for my heating bill, probably wouldn't care too much it was cold, except it means it's really cold for the animals. So keeping them safe and warm and with fresh water.
Yeah, that's hard. That's got to be really hard.
Yeah.
So we kicked off the new year.
Yeah, happy new year. I mean, it's a week, but still, happy new year.
Today feels like the new year to me because it's Monday, and you know, back to school for my son anyway, and I know you're back to homeschooling your kids, so you know, we kind of get back to the routine of things. So you've had a few days with the 2014 365 project. How's it going for you?
Good. It feels really good. I'm trying to shoot on prompt, and each day I'm like, oh, today I'm not going to shoot on prompt. And then something presents itself, and I'm like, yes, five whole days in a row. I'm doing awesome. So kind of, I haven't shot on prompt for a long time, and I'm afraid now that I'm going to like start this thing where I can't not shoot on prompt. You know? I can't let it go in this competitive nature is going to take over inside of me.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm glad you're hooked. I'm shooting on prompt as well. But I did blow it on day three. I posted a self-portrait of sorts of my hand for the Friday prompt. And then on Saturday, which was the self-portrait prompt, I didn't post a photo of myself. I was traveling with my family, and I tried to get a couple of photos, but I was like, you know, in a bus, and then I was in a train, and I couldn't get anything that I liked. So I just decided that I'd go with the prompt a little bit, but I wasn't going to go with the self-portrait. So sorry to let you down.
I did mine. So see, I told you last year I was going to self-prompts or self-portraits, and I did. I got one done.
I saw it, and I was impressed. I think anybody who takes that challenge on and, you know, doesn't just take a selfie, but takes a self-portrait where you're really very thoughtful about it and maybe don't have fish lips, I think that's truly, truly something to be proud of. It's a big project.
Did you see Jeannie's?
The
one with the wrap or the scarf and the hat?
Yes, I did. I did. Jeannie Thyssen, one of the CY365 creative team members, she posted an amazing photo. I didn't even know that it was her because she didn't have her glasses on.
Yeah.
So I clicked on it and I was like, who is this new person in the gallery? Since there are many, many new people right now in the 365 gallery. And I was really surprised to see that it was Jeannie.
Yeah, I tried to do that morning, that Saturday morning. Mine did not turn out as lovely as Jeannie's. So I had to come up with a new plan, which was if I don't know what to take a picture of, I always take a picture of my hands. That's the one part of my body that I'm really comfortable with. And I like the way they look and my fingers. And it's kind of I use my hands all day long. What am I doing right now? So that's what mine was. But
and hand self-portraits, I think, are some of my absolute favorites. I think there's so much story in just somebody's hands and the details that you can show. I absolutely love those.
Yeah, another thing I'm trying to do is use Instagram both. So I'm trying to almost do two prompts a day or two shots if I can, although I missed that yesterday, I think. But it just depends on what I'm doing.
That's funny. I'm kind of running two projects as well. So I'm using my DSLR almost every day. I missed yesterday as well. And then doing them through Instagram too. And I'm kind of enjoying that. And I as I put last year's photos together, I noticed that that was happening for me, especially towards the end of the year. And I kind of liked that. And, pulling them over into Collect where I can stack them so I can actually have both of them there. And it's going to fit really nicely with the plan that I have for 2014, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a moment. I want to go ahead and share our sponsor for today's episode. Today's podcast is sponsored by Practice. It is a year-long, 12-month class that you'll be given a prompt or a subject each month and guided through lessons. You'll photograph your subject in four different ways, two methods focusing on creativity and two focusing on technical aspects of photography. And each method will offer a little bit more challenge than the previous. So it kind of goes from easy to hard. And then, of course, as all of the Capture Your 365 classes have, there will be critiques and assistance along the way. You'll have a forum and gallery that you can share your photos in and ask questions. And this is really intended for anyone who has a camera with manual control over exposure. You probably could do this with an iPhone, but you probably wouldn't get all of the benefit out of class that you would with a camera with manual controls. And class begins February 4th. There will be a lesson in PDF form each month and a live webinar each month as well. Then those will, of course, be recorded. So are you excited about Practice, Kelly?
I am really, really, really excited because I kind of fell off the bandwagon with Inspired last year, just because life took some turns I wasn't expecting. So I'm excited to try again with Practice and new material, new focus, new stuff. I am excited.
Excellent. Excellent. And the whole idea is behind this particular class for me was to get people, this is going to seem really obvious, practicing. That's how we get better photos. And I read this great quote from Percy Harris that says, skill in photography is acquired by practice and not by purchase. And I thought that's perfect. That's really perfect. So we just have to get out and more intentionally practice our art. And then with that, you get better photos. So kind of exciting stuff.
Yes. Well, one thing I want to practice this year, and I don't know if I'm asking you to give away something, so you'll have to just go, if you don't want to answer the question. But I want to practice sharpness and trying to make sure I get some really sharp pictures. I took my picture yesterday. I was disappointed with, and I realized it wasn't as sharp as I thought it was, but the moment was gone, and it's just one picture. And so that's something I realized yesterday. I need to work at being more consistent and figuring out what are the things that are keeping me from having sharp pictures in the one spot that I wanted really sharp,
Right. Focus, so. Well, and I think you're going to find as we go through the year that you're really going to get that, because each each month has a theme, and each month has that technical theme. So in to kick off in February, we're focusing on aperture, and that's one of the places that affects sharpness. And so really digging into aperture, really digging in to how it works, and practicing, working through all of your apertures with some different creative assignments is going to get you that one step closer. And then you add 11 more months to that, and I think you're going to get something that's gonna help you there, definitely. It's kind of like anything. If you put a little work into it and you do the practice, you're gonna get a payoff.
Yeah, I'm
So
excited.
cool. Good. Me too. Me too. I love the year-long classes too. You really get to connect with the 365 community, and I love getting to know people in that way through class. Just a fun bonus. So that class, it starts on February 4th, and there will be a link in the notes for this podcast that you can follow to get to that class. And I'm extending the special price of $99 for 1 year class. I'm extending that through the end of this week, so on Saturday. I don't know that date offhand, and I took my
11th.
the 11th.
11th.
Thank you. It'll extend through Saturday the 11th, and then that class will go up to its non-introductory price. So I don't have a calendar up yet. I'm feeling very weird about that. I had a yearly calendar, one year at a glance that I put up last year. But I don't have one yet this year. I'm gonna have to do something about that.
Well, I just had a question. I was going, oh, I know what I was going to ask you. You said manual is good on the camera. Do they need to be pretty confident in shooting in manual? Did you answer that? And I.
I didn't answer that. I mean, I would say if you, that's a good question. That's a really good question. And I think I've been asked that before. I think if you know how to read your manual, if like, okay, you don't have to like to read it, but if you know where your manual is and you can read and follow instructions, I think you are going to be okay. Even if you've never shot in manual, I think you're going to be okay.
Very good. As long as you can understand, this is how I change my exposure. This is how I change my aperture. Follow
Exactly.
instructions,
Yeah.
and you
If you
can
can.
learn that meter the first day.
Right,
So,
exactly. Yeah, because I'm not necessarily going to teach you, like, here's how to change your aperture, but if you can
right.
find your aperture and then change it, you're gonna be okay. And of course, in the forums, we always, if you get stuck or if you need something, we can link you up to lots of resources to get you to a place that you're comfortable. I think there are always things that come up in class that people that aren't necessarily covered in class, but people need in order to be successful. And
Right.
I've written enough around the Capture Your 365 website and the Daily Digi website that I've always got something I can link folks to help.
Yeah,
So.
with shooting in manual is another of my goals this year, is that my camera doesn't come off manual. And
Oh,
I take
wow.
so many pictures, unless it's a really, really, really important thing that's happening very quickly where I can't make adjustments, as fast as I'd like. But I figure I take so many pictures that if I miss one because I couldn't make an adjustment fast enough, there's tomorrow. There's the next. I just
Right.
thought, unless I really force myself to stay in manual, I won't get faster. I
Right.
need, if I stay in it, I get faster of going, oh, I can go up this way. I can go down this way. I can change this quickly versus I'm getting much faster now, but I'm still having to think, oh, that was a little bit underexposed, even though my meter was right. Now I'm going to adjust this way versus just kind of automatically knowing, like, oh, let's go down one, let's go up one. Where do I want to go down one? Aperture? Where do I want to go up one? Shutter? Which way do I want to adjust?
And what
So
happens when I do? Yeah, it's all about practice.
yeah, so that's what I figure. Like I said, I'm just going to make myself, unless it's a incredibly important event that I don't, feel comfortable with, I'm going to just stay in manual all the time.
All
That's my goal.
right. I think that's an awesome goal. I think that's a really good goal. I tend to lean on aperture priority a lot, and then
Yeah.
and so manual mode sometimes does I get a little slowed down just because I do lean on aperture priority so often. But I kind of go through phases. So I like that idea. Maybe I'll copy you. All right.
Well,
So,
I always stay in AV too, pretty much. So that's why I thought I'm going to push myself to try something.
cool. Yeah, you're not going to get better at it unless you give it a try. So that's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes for you this year. So today's podcast, we are going to ask all of the, well, not all, we're going to ask many of the, we're going to answer, rather, many of the extra questions that were asked during the Capture Your 365 New Year's party on New Year's Day. It was incredibly well attended, and there were so many questions, I couldn't even keep up. It was craziness.
Yeah, there were a lot of people and a lot of really active people. You know, you never know quite how busy people are going to be at typing and questioning and asking. And there were a lot of good questions.
There were so many good questions. And there were people from all over the world. We had over 300 people in attendance. And, you know, that's they had prime competition with football. So they gave up their time, or maybe we're doing both. I don't know. I know some people were probably using it to avoid football games, but there were lots and lots of great questions. So we're just going to go through some of those questions so that we can give you a little bit more depth, and we'll also add a link to the New Year's party. If you didn't get a chance to take part in that, you can still head on over there and watch the video from that and see what you missed. So Kelly, do you want to kick us off with the first question?
Sure.
All right.
The first question is, what's the best way to make sure I take a photo every day?
Ah, good question. Well, for me, it is all about having my camera or having a camera available all the time. So in my pocket, with easy to grab, someplace nearby is how I make sure that I take it. And I also let my family know that this is what I'm doing, and so they'll kind of give me that extra boost and sometimes reminder if I haven't taken it. What about you, Kelly? How do you make sure you take it every day?
That's a big part of it, is keeping sure that I don't have it locked away in a cabinet, you know, so I see it on the dining room table, or it's on the counter in the middle, safe from children. And I try to do it early, or at least I try to have a plan for when I'm going to take it, you know, so I see the prompt, if I'm going to shoot on prompt, and I think that would best go with lunch. So that's kind of in my brain where my day is going to go with it. Or that would best go with, I think we'll be outside after nap time. Maybe I'll take it out then. And so then I kind of already have a plan of where I'm going to fit it into my day. If I don't have a plan where I'm going to fit it into my day, then usually those are the days that at 7:30 I go, what's left today? You know, and try to figure out.
What low light thing can I grab now?
Yeah. Where can I set it down real quick? Prop it up. And the other thing that I've been doing, just because getting back into this routine with using my camera, with using my iPhone's not a problem, but with using my camera, I've been setting a reminder on my phone that remind me at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon that just says, have
nice.
You thought about your photo today? So then if I haven't thought about it, I see it and at least I go, Yeah, no, I haven't thought about it. Or most days right now, I'm going, yep, done, moved on, cross it off.
Nice. That's a great idea. You can also, we probably should mention the daily email. You can get that set up and have the daily email sent to you. It arrives in everybody's inbox, wherever they are in the world, at about 4 a.m. So it can be one of the first emails that you see for the day. And that can help as a reminder as well. So, Kelly, we both have busy lives. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've read that different people, you know, have them all different places. I think I must have been cutting out there. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh. Okay, because I just kind of, I'm going to unplug real quick and plug
back
in.
Okay, cool. We'll get you back here, get you talking again.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, we'll see if that helps.
Cool.
Just all the different folks that, you know, put their prompts in different places where you see it, you know, print that PDF and put it either on your bulletin board, in your kitchen, or on your bathroom sink, you know, mirror or something, wherever you want to see it first, you know. It kind of just keeps it in your mind, especially the first couple months, so you really get into that routine of thinking, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I there's somebody, and I think it may be somebody on the creative team, I can't remember, who actually pins it to her headboard.
Huh.
And so you wake up and there it is. I haven't done that yet. But I do keep mine on the wall by my desk so that I can see it when I'm at my computer. I like having it there to reference.
Yeah, and I usually just look at the email first thing every morning just to remind myself, even though I've seen them before. So, we're writing the prompts. I usually look at it just what that day's specific one is.
Yeah, I have to too. We write so many that they begin to blend together, so I've got to go look at it. So we both have busy lives. How do you go about fitting it into your busy life? You've told us you kind of think about it, but on hard days, busy days especially, what do you do anything differently?
Well, I think the biggest thing I do is I just relax and don't get caught up in trying to produce a work of art. That I'm just capturing my everyday picture, that I'm not going to take 20 shots trying to get the exact perfect picture of me eating soup. Like yesterday, my picture was a spoon with some soup on it, and I could have gone back downstairs and recreated it, but that just didn't even make sense for my time. It's just a picture of soup. So I think that's one thing is making sure if you're really busy, then this might not be the project to have every single picture be perfect. And I know that's hard when you see other people's pictures and they look perfect every day. But some of those folks, that's, what they have time to do. And that's what they have time to edit. And they have time to set aside that versus just being satisfied that I was really busy today and I got a great shot of whatever it is I have time to do.
Exactly. So that you don't feel guilty about it. I don't think this is a project that you should feel guilty about at all. And when you can just get those moments of your everyday life into your project, you're going to be so much happier, I think, with the results. And you'll actually be able to finish. You'll actually be able to get it done rather than dropping off at about day eight because work and home and everything has made it really difficult. I think this year I'm especially working on lightening up with it and not feeling like I have to post the most perfect photo because I write the list and because I created the website. I got really, really hung up on my photos having to be absolutely amazing to be shared. And so I ended up not sharing any photos and lost some of the love for the project. So getting back into just capturing those everyday details, like you said, Kelly, and getting them where you can, when you can, and moving forward from there, I think is how to fit it into a busy life.
And that leads right into, how do you find something to photograph every single day, 365 days, from now until
That sounds so
2050?
daunting when you say it that
Exactly.
way.
Well, for some, and for the person who's asking this question, it must be, some people, I think you lean towards the side of, I can't, I could take a picture of 10 things today, and I probably lean towards the side of, ugh, what am I going to take a picture of today? I don't really need to take another picture of my coffee mug or my, whoops, wait, did you take a picture of your coffee mug today, Karina?
I did, and I'm horribly offended now.
No, I'm just teasing you.
That actually
But,
isn't my coffee mug, though. That was the co my coffee mug for today.
okay,
Because
that makes sense.
Starbucks has this thing. When I had my birthday in November, I vowed I was no longer going to use a disposable cup anywhere that I went. And this morning, I stopped at Starbucks before I dropped my son off at school because we always have a little wait. We drop his dad off and then we wait for his school to be ready. It's easier and more efficient than coming home and heading back out. And so I was at Starbucks and I have discovered if you ask them for a cup that, it's not a to-go cup. What would be the opposite of a to-go cup?
How about a real cup?
A real cup, exactly. Like I don't even have the term for it. How sad is that we're so disposable? They will give you a real cup, and the V shows you that it was a venti because all the grande cups have been broken and lost. And I think I'm one of the only people that actually asks for a cup, and they always kind of look at me weird because I'm the only one I think that asks. But that was my cup for today, so it was a part of my life today. I don't know if I'll get it again. Probably not because I'm swearing off obnoxiously overpriced beverages
Ah.
after after today.
After today, where are you going to go for your 15 minutes then?
Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to still go there, okay. And I'm going to sit with my son, and he's going to eat 3 petite vanilla scones, okay, as he does every day, and I'm going to watch him.
Okay.
And just not, I'm just cutting it out. I'm just letting it go. So you won't see any more of my obnoxious coffee cup photos anymore.
Yeah. So what else beyond coffee cups? How do you take a picture every day?
For me, you know, I like to look at food. I eat at least 3 times a day. So food is an easy go-to. I tend, and I think this is where you and I are different, and I don't know why I have this. I just have it that I am going to look around and just find anything. You know, today I'm on my keyboard, on my computer, so my keyboard could be a subject. My son has put this cute little Lego on top of my external hard drive, so that could be a photo. My kale in my garden is doing fabulously. It's like the best it's ever done at this time of year, so that could be a photo. I'm just willing to look around at just about anything and say, okay, that's going to be my photo. It doesn't have to be completely, utterly representative of this day. Just something I noticed, some part, some piece, and then let that become my photo. And I think that gives me some freedom and flexibility that may not be there if I'm, you know, if I'm making this photo be exactly about what I did today. That would be more difficult.
Right. Well, and I think sometimes the challenge becomes then is just how do you take a picture of it in a different way?
Right.
You know, that coffee cup in a little bit different way, or just different place, or different lighting, or, you know, I don't tend to have that problem because I have a really, really active house with lots of people, lots of subjects, lots of animals. So I have the challenge of not always taking a picture. Kind of the easy picture, the kid picture,
right?
the dog picture, and making myself kind of look the opposite. And part of that comes with me deciding what's the focus of my project. Is it going to be to tell the story of my family? Is it going to be just to tell the story of me? And that kind of evolves. And I've gotten really comfortable with that it's kind of quasi my family scrapbook, but it's also sometimes just about me. And if it's just about me, then you might see my coffee cup or my breakfast. Or you might see, you know, what I have done. Then the next day, because my children are such a part of my life, obviously, then it might be me and a kid, or just a kid, or, you know.
And my photos sometimes I think are really for me, and I think the project is very much for me. And I begin to think that nobody else would really care what I take photos of. And we've hooked up Apple TV in our house, and I have it set up so that it shows my photos of the day if there's nothing on the TV. And my husband occasionally will be sitting in front of it, and the photos will come up, and he's like, well, when did you take that? Well, when did you get that? And he really is very interested and really loves them. And they're things that I wouldn't even think that he would care that I had photographed. So, I think, you know, even those mundane details, we think we're doing them for ourselves, but I think there's much more benefit to the people around us.
Yeah, I think so too. So I think asking your family, what should I take a picture of? Like you said earlier, including them in the process, it's always amazing to me what all of a sudden, you know, I have too many people. So I have take a picture of my Lego, Mom. Take a picture of this. I'm telling you, on New Year's Day, my husband comes in with this Lego, and it says my son's name, Jesse Buss. And he goes, can you take a picture of this? And he had, it was spelled out in Legos, Jesse Buss. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he looks at me, he goes, I made it. You want me to take a picture of
your Lego.
Lego creation that you made, and it just says Jesse Buss? It doesn't, like, you know. And then he looked at me, and he kind of realized what he was saying as the 39-year-old man. And he's like, no, I guess if you do, I really don't want people to see it. I'm like, okay. That makes me feel a little better.
Oh, you and I are so different. And you need to tell JD, I would have taken his photo in a heartbeat, and I wouldn't have even thought anything of it.
I know.
Well, I love that.
Because it was one of those things where he He looked at me and he was like so proud of his best of us. And see, I'm coming across as the heartless one. And because I'm like, oh, because here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking my 6-year-old made
right.
it. So that's why. And then when he says, I made it, I'm like, oh, okay. Really talented. Which is why he understood. He was not in the least bit hurt or anything.
Okay.
But it was just funny because, you know,
that's
maybe not. I don't know.
We all want to be special, you know. We all want to have a little attention.
We do. So you've been taking pictures, I think you said, for 7 years.
Right.
Is that what you said in the webinar? Yeah. So how are you staying motivated? I mean, this is a question that people are going to be coming across in July, in April. Some people I see in the forums who are starting again right now are saying, you know, they quit like the second week of January or
right.
the second month. So how can you help them stay motivated?
You know, for me, staying motivated is all about looking at what I've done and seeing what my photos are like as a collective. And so for me now, it's much easier to go back and I have this huge collection and I can see the parts and pieces of my life. And I love that. But in the beginning, I think we become so focused on getting the next photo that we forget to go back and look and like, okay, look at what I've done, look at my progress, and kind of celebrate that. And just be a little bit easier on yourself so that on the days that you just need to take something and move forward. Take it one day at a time. Don't become obsessed with, you know, making it perfect every day. Just get it done. It's, you know, it's a lot like exercise. It's a lot like eating right. It's a lot like so many parts of our lives that we try to do as on a routine basis that just, you know, today, get it done. Take the photo first thing in the morning, move on. Tomorrow's a new day. And then tomorrow you're going to wake up either motivated or not. And then you get it done. And then the next day you wake up and hopefully you're really motivated and you can put more time and energy and effort into it. But always go back and look and see what have you done. So have you ever felt like giving up, Kelly?
Yeah. Yeah. And actually the first year I took about a 2-month break, I think, during the summer and maybe 2011, I think that might've been the first year I was doing it. And I think I did exactly what you're talking about. I missed a day and then I missed another day and then I missed another day. And then suddenly it was just like, you know, I've missed so many days. Big deal. No big
right.
deal.
What does this matter and, anyway?
Yeah, exactly. And about August, all of a sudden, my brain kind of woke up and said, you know what? It doesn't matter. You need to finish and keep going. And then I really got into a routine where I didn't miss any more days. Yeah, I did feel like giving up. I mean, just in that sense of, you know what, like you said, it doesn't really matter. No one cares, you know, and that's kind of silly. I mean, you know, it's letting me become my own. It's taking my project and making it like extrinsic outside of myself.
Right.
Instead of letting me be satisfied with what I'm doing and at the pace I'm doing it and finding that comfort level.
Yeah. This year, I am going to add a little something to my project that I think will help me stay motivated and will help keep it in my family's mind, too, so that they help give me some of that motivation. Every month, I am going to print my photos, and they're going to go into a box that will sit on my coffee table. And so we'll be able to look at them as the project goes on, and the box will be large enough for the entire year. And we'll just each month I'm just going to add. And I even envision having some months where I may need to print a week at a time just to get that little bit of motivation. But having them out where we can see them, I can touch them, my family can talk about them, I think that's going to be a huge, huge help for me this year. And I think you could do the same if you're putting them into a photo book, if you're doing something like Project Life with them. Just having that progress shown can help a lot.
Yeah, that's what really kept me going in 2012. I did a picture book the whole year long. And that sense of just keep going, don't have a hole, which it wouldn't have been the end of the world if there was a day missing.
No.
But, you know, and go back and look at it, you can see there's a day that I was like, okay, I don't know what, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why'd I take a picture of that? But it filled the spot and it kept me going. And I think, you know, when you're, I don't know if you had a journal teacher or an English teacher that taught journaling, and they tell you, what is it? Just write, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write.
Right.
So if you're journaling, you're supposed to keep going, but I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. It's the same principle. You don't know what to take a picture of. Just turn around and start taking pictures. Just point your camera, focus, and see what you get, and move on.
Exactly. And do one thing. Yeah. You know, it takes you 1/125th of a second, and you're done. Move on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. I don't expect you to remember the photos from my 365 projects, but I've used it a couple of times in webinars and things. I have a photo that is just on a piece of paper. I wrote out, this is a sad excuse for my photo of the day, and I dated it, and I held it in my hand, and I photographed it. And it's ended up being one of my favorite photos, because you see my handwriting, you see my hand, and it's...
You catch your emotion, what you're feeling that moment.
Exactly. It's completely indicative of that day. And I think that's something that I may add more into this year as I need to, as a backup plan. Just like, it's not happening for me today. In fact, maybe I'll have Cammie at Scrap Orchard make some pocket cards that I could hold up,
yeah,
that say things like, not feeling it.
Yeah.
And just take photos of those, and
that's
then I'm and then I'm good. Just have some fun with it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Suddenly I can't read. Do you love that? So how do you make
sure?
Right.
I had something I was going to say, and I forgot it. So I was say? No, I can't. Oh, right. It will come back to me if it's important. If not, oh well.
Okay. So where do you get your inspiration? You know, we've talked about looking around your everyday life. Is there anywhere else that you go to get inspiration?
Well, no.
That's so honest.
Well, honestly, yeah. Well, you know, here's what I do. Like, for instance, the self-portraits that I want to do, the self-portraits. So I have been scouring the internet and Pinterest looking, and then I've just been either, you know, bookmarking different self-portrait ideas I like or see. But that's because that's one project that I'm really comfortable with. I don't know exactly what I want to envision out of it yet. And I want to do the prompts ahead of time. I mean, I want to be writing a self-portrait prompt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to come up with creative ideas. So that one I am doing, you know, research or whatever, you know, just kind of looking, seeing what some of the ideas are. How do I make them mine? For most of my everyday photos, I'm not. If I come across something in the gallery that I'm like, oh, that's cool, I want to try that. It's more of a, if I see it one day and I remember it, I might set it up. I'm not really finding a lot of like daily motivation beyond what I see in the gallery the night before, if that makes
any sense.
You know, I'm not scouring Pinterest daily. If I run across something I see on Facebook or somebody's gallery or Flickr, if I remember it, then a lot of times I'm like, oh, I think I'll try this setup. But most of the time it's just, what do I see and how does it come out? You know,
just
how
kind
does
of
it show up in my camera?
Yeah, you just let life then inspire you and then work the angles and get your photo. That makes sense. You know, and you mentioned something that from one of our next questions, you know, someone asked, how can I make sure I'm part of my photos as well as capturing memories of what's around me? And the self-portrait prompt that happens once a month on the first Saturday of the month is a great way of doing that. And we do have a Capture 365 Pinterest board that has lots of self-portrait ideas on it. And I think, you know, mindfully taking that one day a month that you point the camera towards you does get you into your photos more. And then as you go through the year, just, you know, thinking about creative ways that maybe you can set up the tripod and take a family shot or take a photo of your hands or, you know, something that you're doing as it comes up. But before the self-portrait prompt, Kelly, did you find that you included yourself in your daily photos?
I do some, but, you know, I'm not a purist about this. So I hand my camera off to other people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll say, I want to be in this picture, take this picture. Or I haven't been in a picture for 2 weeks, you know. And or if my husband has taken something with his iPhone, I'm like, put that in my Dropbox so I can have it, you know. And so I'm not a purist of the most things, not most, all things I post on 365 are mine. But like what may end up in my book or may up my printed work, maybe my husband, or maybe me handing the camera to my son with everything set and saying, here, just focus on me and reading to Joseph and push it, you know, instead of me dragging out the tripod and Joseph's already bored and gone.
Yeah. That makes
sense. Do you ever let other people give in your family take pictures and include them in your project, or they have to have their own project?
Yeah, they need to have their own project. I am a bit more of a purist. You and I are opposite sides. I do know that I included one of Ian's photos in my 2013 365, just because he had a better photo that day than I did. But my husband will take photos of me sometimes, and he's kind of grown fond of stealing my new Sony camera and grabbing photos that way. And he does it sometimes too as like payback. He'll say like, you really need to know what it feels like to live your life behind a lens or in front of a lens. And so I'll let him do that sometimes. And then Ian has just kind of rediscovered his camera again, and he's taking a lot more, but you know, I kind of stick to the pure, you know, they're my photos. But, you know, with that being said, I also am still, even though we've been doing the self-portraits for a long time, I really am never happy with my photos of myself. So I don't include myself very often.
Hard. I think have a little unique self-portrait group, because I notice what happens to me when I do a self-portrait is, the more I look at it, the less I like it. You know, I'm like, wait, does my nose look out of proportion? And it's not that I think I have an ugly nose. Often it's like, is that an odd angle? Does that look natural? You know, and the next I'm like, oh, does my chin, am I jutting it out? Does that look weird? Do I have a natural expression? You know?
Right. I get crazy eyes.
Yeah.
I will sometimes, yeah. I have, you know, I think my natural expression is not, you know, so how some people just have a natural expression that's a smile, and my natural expression is probably a little bit more frowny. So I always try to consciously smile. And then when I over-smile, though, then I get those crazy eyes. And nobody wants crazy eyes in their 365 project.
I know. Well, you know, I'll try to ask JD a lot. I'm like, get in here and, you know, come tell me if this looks like me. I'm like, does that look like me? Am I natural in that picture? And sometimes he's like, no, that one's gone. Or, you know, sometimes they'll go, well, it's a nice picture, but it's just not how I see you.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
What does that mean? You know, anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we probably could have an entire podcast just about self-portraits, and, you know, and probably what I need is a little bit of counseling to get over my worries as well as critique. So. I am going to do it more this year. I am, you know, if everybody in the community can do it so wonderfully, I should step up and be part of that as well. So Kelly, have you ever gotten behind?
I have. I just told you I got behind. But,
you did.
I think I'm going to sneeze. I'm going to mute here for just a
second. Okay. Bless you.
Hold on.
Yeah. I think I've only missed like a day or two, never in a row. And I just, you know, move on, just move forward. I did in one project make a JPEG image that just said I missed this day and let it be. And I don't even think you need to do that. I think you can just, you know, just skip it, move on. It's 365 photos. Nobody's going to come and chastise you for missing a day. It's a huge project. And I think, you know, keep it fun and keep on going. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. I don't worry if I miss the day. You know, I just fill in with another day, kind of, or something. You know, just label it, like in a book, not online, but in my book, I'll just label. I got two pictures this day, one picture yesterday, or...
Yeah. And I know some people who will go back and get either take from the day before, the day after, or go back in time and, you know, even further and grab a photo. I think there are lots of different ways that you can approach it. And you don't have to be a purist about it and let that day that you miss become the day that makes you quit the project. And I don't think it has to be that way at all.
No, I don't think so. I think we can just be yourself, you know, just keep going.
Right, you know? Right, exactly, exactly. So we had a few photos or a few questions about kind of process and what you do with your photos. So the next one is, should we be watermarking our photos for online uploads? So do you watermark, Kelly?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't watermark. Either. I don't either. I know that there are many people who do share online and in the gallery who do watermark. My feeling is that there are so many photos out there. If somebody does want to grab my photo, the watermark is probably not going to stop them. And I don't want to take the time to add the watermark, and I don't want it to distract from my photos, so I'll live with that. I do add my copyright information and my name into my XF data in Lightroom, so that does stay attached to my photo.
That is exactly the same thing I do. The only time I have watermarked my photos was when I was doing my work with the church photos, because I figured they're going to get a little bit broader. And since they were specifically nativity type scenes, I thought the chances of somebody lifting one and wanting to use it on their site for Christmas or something was a little bigger than just somebody wanting a picture of my soup.
And you know, the funny thing is, if they want it, they're going to get it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. There are people who can manipulate those watermarks right out of there.
Exactly. So, well, and I've seen really people just put it up with the watermark.
Yeah,
and just let it be, and
or recrop it in a different way, or
exactly. And you know, I figure there are people who are going to take things. There are people who are going to be honest. I'm not gonna let myself get too worried about that.
No, I do the same thing you do. My name is in the metadata. Besides that, I pretty much let it go.
Yeah. Anything that you've done to improve your overall workflow?
Well, I think what I did this year. Is in Lightroom, I created all these different smart albums based on dates, so that I always organize by date to begin with.
Me too.
And every picture goes into, every day has a folder.
Me too.
So, you know, I automatically have that set up. But I went ahead and set up some smart albums that I can see. Usually I do something with my photos based on the week that they're in. So I went ahead and set up some folders that show me all the pictures from that first week. All the pictures
I like that.
From the second week. Yeah, I got that from Kathy Zielski from that video we talked about before.
Oh, yeah, a couple of podcasts ago. Yeah, that's I never watched that. I really should.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, it's just odds and tips that you probably already all do, but some of the new folks might really find it interesting. And that was one tip. That was one really small thing that I went, that just already takes the work out. And so I spent, you know what, maybe 20 minutes one day setting up the first 15 weeks. It probably didn't even take 20 minutes, probably took 10 minutes. So that now if I want to see all the pictures, I think I just click on that folder and there they are. And that, you know, it just takes that one little bit of thought process.
Yeah.
Out, you know,
well, it just kind of automates it, and then you don't have to go looking. You know, I do a smart collection of my photos of the day, so that they're tagged and they all go into that one spot.
Right.
But I never thought about doing it weekly. I kind of like that idea too.
Yeah, I have the smart folder just for what I tag my CY365 pictures as. And then I have all of these. I think that's my biggest part of my workflow, is just not letting it get too far behind either.
Right.
I try to not go more than 3 or 4 days, because if you're taking 5 or 6 pictures a day to try to get the one picture, by the end of the week, you could have 70 pictures to go through.
Or if you're taking 20 to 30 photos a day.
Exactly. So I would just try to figure out, you know, how many are you taking every day, and try to not let that build up too much. So if you need to be in Lightroom or iPhoto or whatever you're using every day for 5 minutes, which is usually my goal, is try to get in there for 5 minutes every day, get my picture uploaded, pick one, move on. You know, that's my goal. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
I try not to go more than 3 days, though, because then all of a sudden now I have to carve out 40 minutes time, or, you know, 35 minutes.
Right. And it just kind of exponentially grows then, that you get more behind. And
right.
And then it becomes daunting and you don't dive in.
And then you don't want to take a picture because you got a disc full of pictures that you haven't done anything with, you know, so
exactly.
If you can kind of just make it all part of your workflow and think through, when am I going to do this?
Yeah. And then don't over edit. Don't spend so much time really belaboring that. If you want to be successful, you know, do the minimal edits. I think it's totally okay to edit. I edit almost every single photo that I have. And just move on from there. As you were talking, I realized I should be setting up monthly smart folders. And then once I have that monthly folder done, that would be the folder that I would print from.
Oh, yeah.
And make that process so much easier.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's awesome. Thanks for that little tip.
There you go.
Nice. So do you have a plan for displaying your photos at the end of this year?
I think I'm going for another book. A couple years ago, 2012. Was the year that I made a book. Like, I did a weekly kind of spreadsheet, scrapbooking layout every week. And I'm going back for that because that kind of keeps me going. It makes sure it gets off my computer. I get a nice coffee table bound book that my family likes to look at. So that is my plan.
Nice. Do you do 12 by 12?
That's what I did before, and I probably will stick with that. That's kind of the industry standard, and I like it. It works really well for the style that I've kind of gotten using. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to think about it. And the whole idea for this is, if I have to think too much about it, it's not going to get done.
Exactly.
So I have to keep it as simple as possible. So that's pretty much drag and drop it into some pre-made, you know, weekly scrapbook pages, and I'm done.
Yeah. And there are so many weekly scrapbook pages that you have to choose from. I believe our next show will be all about different scrapbooking options, different things that are available to you to put your photos together with. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Well, I really like your idea though of printing pictures, because that's part of the problem. Not problem. The downside to doing it the way I do it is I don't get anything printed for a whole year, and so there's nothing to look at. So I really like that idea of printing them out, putting them in a box on the table. You know, and then people can flip through them, and then I can send them to grandparents and great grandparents when we're done with them.
Exactly.
And they will love it.
Exactly. And for me, I just, my family, as much as 365 is a part of my family, and they don't have much tangible for it and the daily work that they see me doing. And so it just feels like it's going to be the way that I can bring it to my family and we can enjoy it. I love the books that I do have printed, that my son and I will sit and look at them, and this will be a fun way of having them available easily, and it will grow. And as it grows, I also imagine that, you know, people who visit our house will see that growth, and it will be a fun conversation piece as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So let's see. Now, if you have more questions, anyone listening, if you have more questions about your 365 and being successful, of course, please leave them in the comments. This was just a spattering of the questions that were asked in the webinar, and obviously couldn't get to all of them, but we would love to hear any other specific questions that you have. So you can leave those in the comments, and we'll answer as many as we can on future shows. So Kelly, the gallery is hopping. It's crazy.
Oh my. It is bursting forth with greatness and good things and pictures and new people. Yeah.
It has never been as active as it is right now. There are so many photos. I'm finding myself using the star rankings much more and the following content much more, so that I can kind of keep up with what I've seen. And I know you're really focusing on leaving a minimum of 5 comments every time you upload. Crazy stuff, huh?
Yeah. It's great. And it seems like there's a lot of new folks that are really excited and really wanting to dive in and wanting to be a part of the community. I see a lot of new people already leaving comments, which I always think is great, because sometimes, you know, it takes a while for folks to work up the courage to really join us, you know,
exactly.
And not just watch us. So
right,
come join us. You know,
Yeah, and I love when they do. I love when people don't just dump their photos and run, when they really
Right.
engage with the community. And I think that's where it's, a huge opportunity to learn how to improve your photography without even taking a class. You can just dive into the gallery and the forum and ask questions, and you're definitely going to benefit. So do you
Yeah.
have a photo from the gallery you want to talk about?
I do. I picked a photo by like maybe Shep Heidi 10.
I love this
And
time of year. We can never figure out like exactly what people's usernames are just yet.
I think I'm assuming Heidi is a gal. If her name is Shep Heidi, Heidi Shep, I don't know yet. But she's got a lovely picture of a yummy donut with sprinkles. It's a pink frosted cake donut with sprinkles. I don't want to say yummy. I'm pushing aside all sweets this time of year. But maybe this is the one I can enjoy. I mean, in the lighting. It just makes me happy because she's got that really nice soft backlight kind of from the back right. But she's got it perfectly exposed on those white sprinkles, which is, white getting exposed correctly is kind of tricky.
It can
So
definitely be tricky.
yeah, she's got that white, nice and bright white, not gray. It just looks good.
It
It just,
does, and it has a marvelous story with it. I'm
yeah.
often drawn to the story, and that story is pretty amazing about her dad bringing her girls a donut every Sunday. I just love that, and I think it's such a great example of taking the time and seeing your photo in your everyday. It's a perfect example of everyday photography.
Right. And I'm also jumping to a different subject, but I'm thinking if I had a macro lens, I would want to be taking pictures of those sprinkles with a
Oh,
macro
yeah,
lens.
without a
Wouldn't that be
doubt.
fun?
Donuts and cupcakes are two of my
Yeah.
favorite things to photograph, period. And then you add the
Yeah.
macro lens to it, and then it just becomes really, really fun.
Right.
I will occasionally buy cupcakes just to photograph them. I don't need them. If somebody in the house eats them, that's fine. They're just fun.
Yeah. So well done, Heidi, and I can't wait to see more from you. It really just caught my interest. And like you said, the story made it that much better because about
Yeah.
kiddos and the grandparents, and oh, warms my heart and makes me want to go have a donut. So
I know my stomach was just growling. I may have to. So my photo is from somebody new to the gallery as well, and it's from the self-portrait prompt, and it's from Sam, and it is a photo of her hands. So funny that you had mentioned hands, holding a camera. And she just has it placed in front of her. And one of the things that I really love about it is not just her hand placement, but she has a striped shirt on, and it
Yeah.
gives the photo such a cool balance. And I really found myself drawn to that. And she talks about in her notes about the photo that she's always really struggled with them and avoided them. And because of the prompt, she took this, and it's the little bit of her, and it's fabulous. I think it's a great photo. It's something that she's technically, it's beautiful. Creatively, it's super fun, and a great way to kick off her 365. Just a really good photo.
I agree. I just really like that.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's a cool camera she's holding too.
It is a
She's
really cool camera.
yeah.
Yeah. And she used Jeannie's focusing tip, which I think is a brilliant tip to focus on your tripod, and then place yourself, focus on your take your camera and focus on your tripod, and then put your camera on the tripod. And that was brilliant to me. I would have never thought about that. Great technique. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So
So
what's
it,
in your bag?
yeah, it was
I
just
beat you to it.
You did. You did. I
Yeah.
love that we have an order, but we don't follow it. We're getting good at this, Kelly. This is podcast number 7.
Woohoo, we're almost, and we've been back. And you hit record, right?
Yes,
And
I
we're
did.
recording.
We're recording.
Okay. So what is in your bag this week?
In my bag, and it's fitting for today because today's prompt is Mac. It's the Macro Monday unique prompt, I have the Olo Clip 4-in-1 lens. It's something that I put on my Christmas list in our Christmas show. And my husband, because he helps with the podcast, actually saw my Christmas list and sent it on to my in-laws. So my in-laws bought me the new 4-in-1 Olo Clip. And it's pretty fabulous. I had had, and I'm embarrassed to even admit this, I had had a knockoff Olo Clip that I bought a couple of, I think 2 years ago, right when the Olo Clip came out. And I lost it. I have no idea where I lost it. It's gone. And I can tell you that the Olo Clip is a little bit more pricey than the knockoff, but this is a fabulous lens. You know, it clips right onto my iPhone. And unfortunately it is just an iPhone product, but it clips right onto my iPhone, and the actual piece that clips on is where you have the macro lenses. So it has a 10 times macro and it has a 15 times. And I've been using the 15 today and I absolutely love it. It has great sharpness, great quality. It's shooting with a macro. You have to do that, you know, get in and find that right spot that, you know, sometimes is a fraction of an inch different, you know, hold your breath and shoot to get in focus. And I love that. Really, really love it. Great, great lens.
Cool. So did you get your phone focus fixed?
No.
So can you shoot with it yet?
Yeah, I can. Because the problem with it focuses close. It doesn't focus at a distance. So
perfect.
As long as I'm just using it for the macro, okay. I'm fine.
Okay. Did you get the cool case too?
I didn't get the cool case. Didn't. I put that on the list, but I did not get that. I just got the Olo Clip, which I'm totally happy with. I may buy myself the case. I haven't decided yet. I probably need to do something so that I don't drop it again.
Yeah. Well, you might just wait, buy it. Owner.
Exactly. We'll just see what happens. Yeah. So what is in your bag?
Mine, and notice I'm saying the word cheap. Mine is a cheap macro wide angle lens adapter thing. And it's cheap in the consideration that a macro lens is not necessarily cheap, a real macro lens. I don't have a macro lens. I don't know if I have enough shoot one every single day, or you know, enough shooting for me to rationalize spending $500 or $300 or I haven't even researched macro lenses, honestly, so I don't even know what what price they are. But I picked up this from Photo Jojo about a year ago, and it's probably kind of like the Olo Clip, but for DSLRs, because you put it onto an existing lens. And you can put a macro adapter on. You can put a wide angle adapter on. And then you can shoot macro. And it's not, you know, it's not a macro lens. So you're not going to get perfect. But I think it's like $70 maybe. It's a little less depending on which package you decide to get. And it really gives me something to play with for macro Mondays or for just if I want to be a little more creative without having to go out and put a lot of money in it or, you know, try some of the crazy tips of taking your lens off and trying to hold it just perfectly backwards. And like you said, hold your breath and try to get everything in focus.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a fun little thing. So, you know, if you want to ease your way into it and see if you think you'll even use it, and you do use it, then you know, okay, I need to outgrow this and save some money and get a real macro lens versus I'm really glad I didn't spend $400. You know, I didn't use it. It's not my style. I'm glad I don't own the lens I don't use.
Yeah, so it's
kind of a fun little thing.
It seems like it ranges from about 50 to 85, depending on what you get. And that does sound fun. It looks like a really cool product. You know, with macro, the cool thing is you have many, many options. Extension tubes are a little bit more expensive than this, but less than a lens. And then Santa brought me the 50 millimeter macro lens. And I think that's about $150 lens, maybe 200, I'm not sure. And so it's not the most well-made lens, but it does give me another macro option. I was interested in the focal length, the 50 millimeter, just to see what that would be like. And that's a lot of fun. So this is an awesome option. Do you have the wide angle adapter as well, or just the macro?
I do, but I haven't really used it because I have a wide angle lens.
Right.
So I would shoot with that instead. But I did go ahead and get some of the different adapters so that I could switch it to different lenses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll need to do that yet, because right now it's on my 50 millimeter.
Okay.
That's my goal for today, is to take my macro Monday shot. And I did make muffin. I will probably take a picture of a macro of a muffin after we get off our podcast. But I could put it on my, like, 20, you know, my Tamron lens, or I could put it on other lenses if I wanted to, or if I need to. I don't know.
Yeah, try it on your longer focal length lens just to see what you think. I actually love shooting with my extension tubes on my 70 to 200 millimeter lens. There's it's a really nice length. It gives a really nice effect in macro photography.
Huh. Yeah. Cool. I don't know much about macro at all. So this is going to be the year of self-portraits, the year of macro, the year of, I'll probably come back next year saying, okay, now I need a real macro lens.
Yeah. And the beauty of macros, you can try a lot of the inexpensive ways that we've been talking about and decide if it's even for you, because it is a really different way of shooting. It is a method of shooting. I do feel like I am holding my breath every time. Like, that's part of the process, is, you know, to get that minuscule little focus that you're looking for. I haven't even gotten into, like, true macro photography, where I'm adding lighting and putting my camera on the I can't even think of the term for it now, but the track that you can use so that you can go in and out really, really smoothly. So there's lots of places to go with macro photography.
Yeah. Well, because before we end, though, I have got to give a shout out to Jennifer for her macro shot yesterday.
Without a doubt.
Oh,
without
my
a doubt.
Goodness. You've got to link that up for us, because
I will.
If you didn't see it, you got to go look at it, because she got the tips of the tines of the fork. I mean, perfect. Perfect. And then just the whole setup of it was really neat. I mean, you know, it was kind of artsy and abstract, but it still tells the fork. And I was just like, oh. And then I'm dying to know, Jennifer. So if you're listening, how many shots did you have to take? You know, did you get it the first time? Are you a pro at this? Can you hold your breath and take it right? Or is it, I took 20 and I got it, luckily, finally, because it's so perfect.
It's a beautiful shot. And all of the fork photos, you know, were amazing. There were so, so many. And it's one of those examples that you probably could do a 365 project just with a fork.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I had to mute there.
I thought you were like, I thought you were thinking about what I was saying and thinking I was crazy.
No, I was trying to hit the button but not disconnect and make sure that I was coming back.
Nice. I was just thinking, sorry. Kelly thinks I am a raving lunatic and doesn't even know how to respond.
Yeah. You know, I think you probably could. That's an interesting idea. Someone's going to do that now.
Exactly.
Make a photo book and make a lot of money.
That's right. They'll have it'll be the fork book.
Yeah.
Nice. Excellent. Well, Kelly, thank you again for podcast episode 7. I'm looking forward to this year and doing lots more podcasts with you. So
me too.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening in. If you've got comments, please do leave them in the comments section and we will answer them on a future podcast. And be sure to check out the practice class. That class begins February 4th. So just over a month away. Thank you again. Have a great day, and may all your photos be in focus.